Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest has spent a lot of time going from place to place, whether that's on the mission field or going to a writer's conference. But Marcia Laycock has taken those experiences and put them into a book called A Traveler's Advisory, where she's on the phone with us tonight from her home in southern Alberta, and we're going to talk to her in a few moments about her book. But first, let's listen to All Gift from Mike Jansen's latest CD, Nudging Forever. With Marcia Laycock. Good evening, Marcia.
Good evening, Robert. How are you doing?
Good. Now, speaking of traveling, you've just come back from a writer's conference this weekend. Tell me a little bit about it. Where were you and what were you talking about?
This was a First Nations Christian Writers Conference, first of its kind, held at the Nietzsche Commons in downtown Winnipeg. And it was a wonderful, wonderful time. We had writers there from all over the area, from northern Manitoba, northern Saskatchewan, a few Albertans, even I think one or two from BC, and even someone from Ontario had come in. Doreen Meyer was the organizer of it, and she's the owner and manager of Gold Rock Press, and she publishes Indigenous writers from all over, and she has just launched a book called the First Nations Christian Writers, and all of these people who, not all of them who came, but some who came, were there for the book launch and did a reading from the book as well. So it was really just a tremendous time. Les Stobey from the States was there, and Susan King from Upper Room was there, and we just had a tremendous time with these folks, and it's so encouraging to see that their voices are going to be heard, and that they're going to get some training to learn to write well and to get their stories out into the world.
Now, were you there as a participant, or were you there as one of the faculty as well?
I was faculty, but I wasn't speaking. I was helping Doreen with the organization.
Okay. Now, you do speak at writers' conferences across the country as well. Why is it important for you to get out there and talk to people about what it is to be a writer and how to do various types of writing?
Well, it's I've been doing this now for, oh goodness, well, I've been writing since I was very young, but writing for publications since the mid-80s. And, you know, I've learned a lot of things along the way. So it's I think it's really important for those who have been through the process and learned things along the way to pass those things on to the new writers coming out and to the people who are just trying to get some kind of story down on paper. Sometimes it's just for their family, sometimes it's for a broader audience, but whatever it is, I think it's important that people tell their story. And if I can help them do that in any way, I'm really very excited to be able to do that.
Well, in doing that, I'm assuming too that you've had people that have fed into your writing and your life as a writer. Who have been some of the influences that you've had over the years as a writer?
Yes, definitely. There have been a number. Phil Calloway, one of our Canadian kind of superstars as far as writing and speaking goes. Sigmund Brouwer, who lives near me here in Red Deer. Mm-hmm. I'm really been privileged to be able to have a great relationship with him, and he's mentored me through a lot of short story writing especially. And I was really privileged to be able to spend a week with Rudy Wiebe at the Mennonite University a few years ago, and that was a tremendous help and just a real encouragement to me to be able to be mentored by a Canadian icon mm-hmm. for that week. There have been others as well, people that I've read, you know, just all kinds of writers that have really stirred me. Max Lucado, of course, the devotional writers. My favorite devotional is still My Utmost for His Highest, Oswald Chambers. There's so many. There's just a long list of writers. I think it's very important for anyone who wants to write to be reading, and not only to be reading the past writers, you know, older writers, but the newer writers mm-hmm. coming out too, because we can always learn from one another.
Well, looking at the people that have influenced you, and I know that through your own works and that you've influenced other people, have you ever had someone come along and you know, totally unexpectedly, basically say, you know, you've influenced me in this way, and this is how you've influenced me? Has that ever happened to you?
Yes, it has. It's happened at writers workshops. It's even happened just locally. I was interviewed in a local newspaper a while ago, and a lady called me up, and she was just beginning to start to put stories on paper. And she called me up and asked if she could come and talk with me. So we got together for coffee, and she had been following my column. I write a regular devotional column in a local paper. And she said that these columns really gave her the courage, in a way, to start putting her own stories down on paper. So that was really a thrill to me. And any time something like that happens, it's really it really gives me a thrill to know that, mm-hmm. that something I've done has encouraged someone to take that step.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things I find as a writer and as I talk to writers over the years is that writing can be a rather lonely profession. I mean, you're doing the writing by yourself. Sometimes when you send your stories out, you know, you have a weekly devotional column, but it goes out and you don't hear feedback all the time. What motivates you to keep going when you know, this is something that can be a challenge at times?
Yes, it can be. It can be a very frustrating thing sometimes to be a writer, but I keep a file of people's comments and things they've said to me, and sometimes letters and emails. And when I do get to that point where I think maybe I should just quit doing this, am I wasting my time doing this, I pull out that file and I start to read the things that people have said and the way that God has worked in their lives through something I've written. When my very first book came out, a wonderful man named Gus Henney, who used to work with SS mm-hmm. Publishing down in Ontario.
Yeah, new Gus.
Yeah, he was just a wonderful encouragement to me and really got me to do my first book. And when that first book came out, I expected that it would be a very local effort, that it would be just something that my, you know, people who had been reading my column in my hometown would maybe pick up and give to a friend and that kind of thing. And that happened. But it also ended up going to some amazing places, places that I would never have dreamed my words would reach. I got an email from a man in India who had picked the book up while he was here in Alberta, taken it back home and read it and really enjoyed it, gave it to a friend. He gave it back, so he ended up sending it to his son in England. And then I got an email from his son in England, and this young man was really struggling in his faith, and it was a wonderful letter of how this book had encouraged him to keep going with God. And other things, when I published my first novel, I gave it to a friend of mine, and her daughter had been really struggling, and read the book and then called to talk to her mom and came back to faith because of something that really struck her in that book, mm-hmm. about God's love. So things like that, it's those kinds of things that really keep you going. Even though, you know, you may be a small fish in a small pond compared to others, God is using you. God mm-hmm. is using your words. And it really has a powerful effect.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm looking at our time. We need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with author Marcy Laycock. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Arts Connection. You've been listening to Mike Janzen, the song from Mike Janzen's Nudging Forever CD of Glimmer. We're going to continue our conversation with Marcy Laycock. And Marcy, I specifically want to talk to you about your latest work, which is a book of devotions called A Traveler's Advisory. Where did the idea for that book come together?
Well, I was speaking with an acquisitions editor from the States, from one of the bigger houses in the States, and talking about what kind of devotional books sell. And devotionals are difficult to sell to publishers because they, you know, they aren't kind of their top sellers. So unless you already have a name, like someone like Max Lucado, it's difficult to get published. And one of the things he said to me was that devotional books have to have a focus. And my first book, Spur of the Moment, really didn't. It was a compilation of all of the columns that I had, pieces I'd written for the column that I wrote in a local paper. So it was really varied. It would, you know, it didn't seem to have any real theme. But when I started to look through it and look at the different aspects of it, there were a couple of things that kind of popped out, and one of them was that I did write a fair bit about traveling and about different countries. We lived in Papua New Guinea for a time. We lived in the far north in the Arctic for a time. So those kinds of stories seemed to pop out at me. So I thought I would put them together into a little book that that would be for people who are traveling on vacation or flying to Europe for one reason or another or whatever. And just decided to put that together. So I'm really pleased to have it out now.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a little book that you can pop into a purse or a pocket and take with you when you go.
Yeah, and I'm in reading, and I was finding that, you know, some of the neat things about it are their experiences that seem to be universal. The one that really stuck to my mind was the one where you're traveling on one of the major thoroughfares in Calgary, and get stuck between a number, you know, in your little Austin Mini, amongst a number of transport trucks. And having driven, you know, into Toronto on the 401 on a number of occasions, even in my minivan, I can feel that sandwiched element and that. How did you decide in doing this which stories you were going to include and which stories you were going to end up leaving out?
That was a difficult process. It's always difficult to kind of make those choices. But I just generally looked at things that were, I did want it to have a universal appeal. So I tried to find things that that many people would have experienced in one way or another, though it's always a unique experience to everyone, but things that would connect with people. That's what I looked for, because those are the things that we do remember. And if you can remember the story, then hopefully you'll remember the spiritual connection there. And that's kind of what I'm aiming for.
Well, that was one. I mean, there's a number of different ways of doing devotionals. I mean, there are some devotionals where, you know, the spiritual message is very, very prominent throughout the little story itself. In your case, you tell the story, and then the spiritual element comes in towards the end. And again, sometimes those can seem like they're tagged on in some devotions. Other times, yours are very seamlessly woven together. How did you develop that? And I'm assuming that that's a style that you've developed over the years. How did you develop that style of writing for devotionals?
I think it's just basically because I am a storyteller. That's always been, you know, I think it's my Irish roots. I love to tell stories. And when I first began writing the column in Pinoka, it was really the Lord just opened the door and it fell into my lap. My husband had just come to be the senior pastor in his first church. And one of the things that the previous pastor had done was to write a column in the paper. So he told Spence, you know, you have to do this and it's due tomorrow. And Spence was a little bit overwhelmed with all the things that he was now responsible for. So he asked me if I could do this. And so I thought, well, yeah, I could probably do it. And having never read his column, I wasn't exactly sure what they wanted. But I thought, well, I could put something together. And so I basically just told a story. And it was a story that, you know, to me had a very strong spiritual connection and application. So I wrote that up and took it down to the editor, and he had a look at it and said, yeah, that's fine. And that was the beginning of writing for, I think it was about 6 years for that paper, and then about another 15 years or so for the other paper in town. So it was, but it's just a style that I'm very comfortable with. And the Lord seems to really hit me with spiritual analogies, excuse me, spiritual thoughts. As I'm seeing something or experiencing something, it will connect with me to something that is linked to what God wants to teach me. And that's what I try and bring through in these devotionals.
Now, when that happens to you, I'm thinking of some of the songwriters I've talked to in the past, and you know, when they have these little inspirations, they'll write it down. A lot of them are now using their smartphones and the record functions on that. How do you, when you're going through something like this and the spiritual application comes, how do you track these different experiences? Is there something that you do to sort of keep reminding yourself of what these things are so that you can develop them into stories later on and into devotionals later on?
Yes, I do. I used to carry a notebook with me all the time, and I still do that a fair bit of the time, but now we have our little smartphones, and so I put my notes into my smartphone when I'm experiencing something that I think I can write about. I've really learned not to to write too few. I used to just write a couple of words down, and then I would go back and look at it and think, now what was I thinking? So I've learned to write a little bit more than just a couple of words so that I do remember what was happening in my mind and my heart at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go back and I have a long file of these things on my computer, and when I'm sitting there staring at a blank screen and nothing seems to be coming up, I'll scan through those things, and usually something will just pop right out at me, and it's amazing to me how people have responded to those things and said, that was just exactly what I needed to read today.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's obviously that God is working through those things.
Yeah. And I think the discipline of having a steady deadline always helps as well.
Yes, absolutely. Those deadlines can be a little scary, but they're really important. And I'm one of those people who does work well under pressure. So I'm a procrastinator. I read a really wonderful little column or article a while ago by Jerry Jenkins. And he was talking about, he thinks all writers are procrastinators, but we're procrastinators who always have that deadline
in
mind. And so we know when we really, really, really have to get down to it and do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's very much true in my life.
Yeah, I think the worst thing that can happen is having an editor saying, oh, get it to me whenever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Well, we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll finish up our conversation with author Marcia Laycock. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. You've been listening to Matan from Mike Janzen's Nudging Forever CD. Welcome back, and we're going to continue. We're going to finish up our conversation with author Marcia Laycock. Marcia, what's been the reaction to A Traveler's Advisory so far?
It's been very good. I've been really encouraged. People are really thrilled to have it. They're thrilled that you can also get it as an ebook on Amazon, so they can put it into their Kindles or their tablets or whatever they're using and just take it with them when they go. I had one lady contact me a little while ago and said it was so nice to have something that she could take with her when she was traveling that was talking about traveling. She mm-hmm. really found that intriguing and a lot of fun. So it's the reaction so far has been very good.
Now, what are you working on anything else right now?
I'm actually in the process of writing a play right now. This is the second play. I've been taking a playwriting course through the Rosebud School of Arts mm-hmm. here in Alberta, working with a wonderful mentor, Lucia Frangioni,
yep.
and writing plays. So that's been really a big challenge. It's something that I've never done before, so it's really been an exciting process for me.
Yeah, one of our local theater companies here, Lost and Found Theater, performed A Caribou Magi, one of Lucia's works a couple of years ago. Where can, and I guess the most important thing is, where can people get a hold and find out more information about A Traveler's Advisory?
They can just go into Amazon. It's available, as I said, in ebook form and paperback. Or they can just contact me on my website, and that's just www.marcialeelaycock.com. Or if you just put my name, Google my name and mm-hmm. my website, and everything pops up.
Great. Marcia, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you, Robert, very much.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight. Thank you to Marcia Laycock, my guest. And if you miss a program or want to hear it again, please look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in the same time next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, please contact Robert at robert@artsconnection.ca. Look for our website, connect with us on Twitter at CELAW13, or look for our blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good night and God bless.